Human Rights Watch is well known for taking the world's repressive regimes to task for violating citizens' rights, but this year the group is taking aim at the governments that are expected to defend human rights. In its annual World Report released this week, Human Rights Watch accuses the United States, the European Union, and the United Nations of failing to stand up to abusive governments. The group's executive director, Kenneth Ross, says these traditional champions of human rights have not challenged the approach taken by repressive governments that tough issues can be addressed through quiet dialogue. Roth spoke to my colleague, Kate Woodsum, about the trend. He says dialogue and cooperation are an excuse for Western powers to do nothing about human rights while securing their access to lucrative natural resources or markets for trade in countries like China and Uzbekistan. He says public pressure still plays a critical role in standing up to repressive regimes.
I think the most interesting recent example is Tunisia, where on the one hand, you have France saying, oh, we've maintained a quiet dialogue for many years with the Tunisian government. And of course, the people they were speaking with were President Ben Ali and his allies who were clinging to power using every means possible. The thing that ended up making a big difference, and it's not the exclusive difference because, frankly, the Jasmine Revolution started very much from below in Tunisia, but the U.S. government, which also had a quiet dialogue going with Tunisia, the WikiLeaks leak ended up showing what the U.S. government really thought about Ben Ali, which was that he was a corrupt, repressive dictator. And that ended up fueling the Jasmine Revolution, adding fuel to the fire that was already going, but making a much greater difference the years and years of quiet diplomacy. And perhaps most important, it showed the Tunisian people that the United States stood with them rather than with their repressor. When all you do is engage in quiet dialogue, your typical pro-human rights or pro-democracy activist thinks that you're being abandoned because they don't hear anything about Western support for them. They don't see anything visible that shows that the West wants anything other than the status quo, the dictator to keep the lid on and keep everything in place.
What was the tipping point when these longtime human rights defenders sort of lost their influence with these regimes?
Well, I think in a sense that the major Western powers have undergone a crisis of confidence in recent years. I mean, it's a product of several things. Partly it's the shifting world order, the rise of China and other emerging powers in different regions of the world. In part, it's the economic crisis and the preoccupation with access to markets and creation of jobs. In part, it's the abuses committed in the name of counterterrorism, which made the West feel that it had less standing to promote human rights. None of these are reasons sufficient, but they are what I think has led to major Western powers feeling less confident about projecting their values to other countries. Ironically, this occurs just as there are major challenges to the universality of human rights. People are talking about the Chinese model of economic development with repression, or the Sri Lankan model of counterinsurgency, where you simply indiscriminately fire at everybody, even vaguely associated with the other side, including civilians. The opponents of human rights are having no problem raising their voices, but the traditional defenders of human rights are suddenly going mute. And it's essential at this stage that the West regain its confidence, that they recognize that these are universal values shared by people around the world, and that it's important for Western governments to stand up for those values, because otherwise you leave the defenders of human rights all alone to face their dictators, and that tends to be a losing battle without significant external support.
The U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton last year suggested that the human rights dialogue with China would take a backseat to the economic crisis. And obviously, trade and investment with China is a huge priority for the United States. Could one argue that by sort of raising the level of income and raising the standard of living of Chinese citizens through this economic relationship, Chinese citizens are actually being empowered to make their own decisions and to stand up for themselves?
People have been making that argument for two decades now. And while on the one hand, the economic growth has led to an increase in certain personal liberties, people now have more ability to travel freely, to choose their job, to choose where they educate their children. When it comes to basic political rights, there's actually been a retrenchment that began with the prelude to the Beijing Olympics and continues to this day, where the government is actually increasing its repression despite the economic growth. So that comfortable theory that you could just trade and get rich and everything will be better in rights terms as well, it's simply not true.
Kenneth Ross is the executive director of Human Rights Watch. He spoke to my colleague Kate Woodsum from Brussels.
Crossroads Asia broadcasts news and information for 3 hours every weekday, starting at 12 hours Universal Time. You can listen to us on the Internet, on shortwave, and on radio affiliates across Asia. If you have questions about our programs or broadcast frequencies, write us at crossroads@voanews.com.